From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Hello and welcome to our evening gospel program. Our featured sermon tape this month is that of Dr. John Douglas preaching on the subject, Why We Defend the Authorized Version of the Bible. In the extract we are playing tonight, he speaks of the superior method employed by the translators in arriving at an agreed translation. After we hear the extract, I will continue our study in the evidence of the existence of God. It's part of our overall subject at this time of the central doctrines of the Christian faith. Now here's Dr. John Douglas. Remember, I am giving away free copies of this sermon to anyone who requests one. Here's Dr. Douglas.
Now, the authorized version was translated by 47 scholars out of an original 54, and I think it's worthwhile that we give a little attention to how we came to have this Bible. The translators themselves divided themselves into six committees. There were two committees in Westminster, two in Oxford, and two in Cambridge. And they began their task of translating the Holy Bible by following a most elaborate and exacting procedure. Let me describe it if I can. First of all, every man in each of those committees was obliged to study the portions of God's Word given to his committee at home. So he had to set aside time himself to study and study intently, closely and prayerfully the portion of Scripture that his committee would be responsible for. And when he had that work safely completed, he brought the result of his own personal study to the committee, as did every other member. The committee went through those Scriptures with this same exactitude that I have been describing. And when they had completed, they passed on their work to the other committees. And the other committees in turn circulated their work. So, again and again, these scholars had occasion to go through the Word of God in the closest detail. So far we have seen every man had to study for himself the portion allocated to his committee. We have seen how he brought that work to the committee, as did each of the rest, and they all went through the portion together. That was the second level. Then came the third level, when they passed that on to the other committees, and the other committees likewise circulated their work. Then the fourth level, there was an overall examining council made up of two men from each committee. And that means there were 12 in that examining council, and it was their task to go through the entire work with painstaking care, sifting through every chapter and every verse and getting the detail in every line before them and settling that before the Lord. And finally, two men were appointed to take on board the responsibility of seeing to it that the work in its final form was given the stamp of general approval. The men chosen, these scholars, were men eminently qualified for the task that was given to them. I firmly believe these men did not come together by accident. I'm convinced that God gave these men to the church, and he raised them up not only as godly men, but also as men highly skilled in scholarship for the work to which they had been called. Let me read of one of them. I'm reading here of Dr. Miles Smith. He perhaps is chief among the translators of the Authorized Version. It is said of him, he had Hebrew at his fingers' ends, and he was so conversant with Chaldee and Syriac and Arabic, that he made them as familiar to him as his native tongue. Then I read here of yet another, John Boyce. He began to read Hebrew at the age of 5, and he was admitted to St. John's College in Cambridge when he was 14. There he very soon distinguished himself by his knowledge of the Greek language, which he sometimes studied in the library from 4 in the morning to 8 at night. This just makes us thankful for the skill of the men whose scholarship, whose devout and godly living has brought to us the authorized version of the Bible.
We're turning then once again to this study of the central doctrines of the Christian faith and considering with you the existence of God and the proofs that we have of his existence. We have given a number of them to you already, and we're going to consider how that the prophecies in the Bible demonstrate that there is indeed a God. We contend that the Bible is the Word of God. It has within its pages evidences of its supernatural character, which in turn attests to its divine origins. We're going to concentrate on the prophecies of the Old Testament, and in particular, those prophecies which refer to Christ. Remember what prophecy is. Prophecy is a writing of history before it happens. Just as history details the events to which it is referring, so prophecy in detail anticipates events that take place in the future. Sometimes the prophecies of the Old Testament were uttered hundreds, and indeed some cases thousands of years before the events that they refer to actually took place. Now, if the Bible contains such accurate and supernatural predictions, which time demonstrated to be true, then surely this clearly testifies to the existence of a divine person. Let's come to the subject. First of all, prophecy said that Christ was to be born of a virgin woman. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Matthew chapter 1, the verse 22. Matthew records, Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Mary was a virgin, and Christ was born of Mary, even as the scriptures taught. Again, prophecy tells us that Christ was to be born in Bethlehem. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Micah chapter 5 and the verse 2. Christ was born in Bethlehem. There was to be a massacre of children in Bethlehem at his coming. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 15. Thus saith the Lord, A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they are not. Rachel was buried in Bethlehem. It was her city. Matthew chapter 2 and the verse 18, Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. What weeping there must have been in Bethlehem after that dreadful massacre initiated by Herod. Christ was to be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver by a friend. Zechariah chapter 11, 1-13, Psalm 41, verse 9, Matthew 27, verses 9-10, records how that was fulfilled. Christ was to utter certain words even as he died. Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then in Mark chapter 15, verse 34, at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Christ was to rise from the dead after 3 days. Acts chapter 2, 25 and 32. And again in Luke 24 and the verse 46. Now here is a truly amazing thing. The complete life of Jesus Christ, its main features, events and incidents, even in minute detail, is plainly foretold in the Old Testament scriptures. And let me tell you, I have only touched on some of the prophecies. The Bible contains references to many other features concerning the Lord Jesus. It speaks of how he was to be of David's family, of the tribe of Judah. It tells us how his mission would include the Gentiles. His ministry, it tells us, was to be one of healing. He would teach by parables. His message would not be believed, and he would be rejected by the rulers. Nevertheless, he would have a triumphant entry into Jerusalem. He was to die with criminals. He would be buried by a rich man. In his death, he was to be given vinegar and gall. There would be a casting of lots for his garments. Not a bone of him was to be broken. His side would be pierced. His rejection was to be followed by the destruction of Jerusalem and a great time of tribulation. All these things we could have also referred to. I repeat again, the complete life of Christ is set forth in prophetic form in the Scriptures. It is surely evidence of the existence and the outworking of the mind of one who transcends human knowledge. The divine origin of the Holy Scriptures is demonstrated for us in the conversion of two of the most notable skeptics of the 18th century. Gilbert West and Lord Lyttelton ranked amongst the most brilliant intellectuals of their day. They had often made Christianity the butt of their jokes and their mockery. They decided that if two of the great fundamentals of the gospel could be overthrown, then Christianity would crumble away. The two fundamentals were the resurrection of Christ and the conversion of Paul. So West undertook to write a treatise on the resurrection, proving it to be a falsehood, and Lyttelton vowed to produce another treatise demonstrating that St. Paul was not miraculously converted on the Damascus Road. From time to time, the two men met to compare notes. But on one occasion, West said to Lyttelton, "Having looked at all the evidence honestly, I got down on my knees and I asked that Christ, whom I believe did rise from the grave, to save me, and he has done it." He was astonished at Lyttelton's reply, for he said, "I too have had a similar experience." And to this day, you can still read the books that those men produced of the evidence which brought about their conversion. We'll continue our study next week in the will of the Lord. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless His Word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.